there's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance. Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Ed, we're back.
You guys are back.
We're back from our long, long trip.
Oh, wait.
Over the river and through the woods.
Lots
and some mountains.
Meetings
and
more rivers and more woods.
And some mountain passes
and no
more
snow.
Rivers and no snow.
The whole state of Oregon.
Wait a minute. Then in true, on our way back, coming
we did not
over.
Get any snow.
You were driving with snow on the side of the road. You missed it by like 3 hours. That's all there was.
Like I said, we didn't drive through any snow.
If it's on the side of the road, he's not driving through it.
Whatever.
He's driving next to
it. He would have been driving. We would have been driving through it.
That's right.
Because I would have went off-road. I would have found that. Oh, before we get started.
What?
We should sing happy birthday to Ollie.
Ollie, our sound lady.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. That's enough. We don't want to kill too much airtime with it. Happy birthday, Ollie.
Yep. We gave her pie. I didn't even know it was her birthday.
I know. Isn't that great? You
birthday
forgot
pie.
It last week and
you
brought it this week.
I did.
Lord knew.
And you brought two pieces, and Dave ended up wanting one. So,
well, I thought maybe she would share it with her, you know, significant other. She's got a husband.
Apparently, he's never going to know about it.
Apparently not.
What pie?
She said Dave's her son, so that's what's going to happen.
I guess.
If your husband's listening, we hope he didn't hear any of that part about the pie thing.
I mean, right. I made it up.
We made it up. There's
what
no pie?
Pie?
There's no pie.
Wow. So, anybody know what tomorrow is?
The day after Ollie's birthday.
Saturday.
It's true. It is true. And here
Saturday.
We are. You know, they do rerun the show on Saturday. So when you hear this tomorrow, if you're listening, we're talking about today.
Yeah, but I don't know if they rerun this show.
But today's tomorrow will be tomorrow's Saturday.
Whatever it is, it's Halloween.
Tomorrow's tomorrow.
It's October 31st. It's Halloween. And we are going to talk about Halloween tonight.
Because how awesome it is Halloween.
We're just going to talk about it in really plain terms.
The
because
legalistic way possible.
Absolutely, because everybody wants to get all legalistic. Or they want you to just don't judge me.
That's right.
I want to go do what I want to go do. But that's pretty much the state of Christianity in America today.
That's
only God can judge me.
Want to do what I want
to
do.
Translates to I'm wrong and I know it.
I think you're right.
I know.
Wait.
Hey, you guys had a good road story.
Oh, my goodness, we did. So we're driving out to Portland. Coffee Fest. Got the old minivan completely. Leave my microphone alone. I will do whatever I want with that.
Don't judge him.
Don't judge me.
Only guy can judge me. Only guy can judge me.
Look, Ollie has it under control. If I go in real close, and she'll cut me down. If
no,
I
I'm going to cut
back,
you down if you don't.
Here's the road
get
story.
Get on with your story.
Pretty sure Johnny Cash says something about that.
So we're driving to Portland.
Liar.
Got the truckster loaded to the gills, bouncing off the overloads the whole way there. And we get all the way to Ontario.
Oregon.
Right.
Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know where Ontario, Oregon is, right on the other side of Idaho, right past the timeline, and it is
Michael Crichton movie.
50. It's 50 miles one way to Nampa, Idaho. It's 75 miles the other way to Baker City, Oregon. So it's like, here's Ontario. Good luck.
It's an island
high desert,
in the middle
okay?
of nothing.
Water pump goes out. Mark's driving, of course. That's what caused it.
Yep.
Pull into the gas
on the side of the road.
Pull into the gas station.
That was the only one that could handle it.
Pull into the gas station, and it's like, huh? Smell antifreeze. Oh, see antifreeze. That's not good. We got antifreeze coming out of the bottom of the truck. Okay, let's figure it out. We start putting some antifreeze in. It stops. Looks like it ain't leaking. It idle. Whatever. That's all a facade. So let's drive around for a while. I definitely don't want to leave on the 75 miles to the next services up the pass, which, by the way, I found out is nicknamed Cabbage for some reason.
Cabbage Pass.
Cabbage Pass. Not his real name, but that's what the truckers call it.
They eat hair.
We didn't see him. Anyway, that's at the end of the story.
Oh, my goodness.
So basically, we start to drive the car, and it starts to pump water out again, and then we stop, and it stops, and it's like, okay, that's a water pump gone bad. So me and Mark, being really cocky like we are, we've done dozens of water pumps in our life. We'll be back on the road in 2 hours. Let's get us a little tool set from Walmart, because we didn't have one with us. And we went and bought a little $10 socket set, and let's go down to the O'Reilly's and called them, and they got the part. It's only $40. It's like, wow, that's going to be super cheap. Let's get it done. Go to the O'Reilly parking lot, jack the car up. Jack pops out from under the car, almost kills Mark.
It's true.
Drops it onto the loose tire.
Just bench press it back up?
Yeah.
No. The tire was completely...
Creature curled it.
Was completely loose. All the lugs were off of it, but it caught the car. It was amazing. And stayed there until we jacked it up again so we could... And then we put the tire under it. But anyway, so we go to pull the water pump off. First two bolts snap in the block. And it's like...
So you just broke the heads off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Man.
And it's like never. I've never snapped a bolt on a water pump. I've done dozens of them. And I've never had that happen. But two in a row.
But there wasn't enough still in there for us to get pliers on and turn it, which was our plan.
No, they were snapped flush. Jeez. So we're done. You know, here we are. It's Wednesday. We're supposed to be in Portland setting up on Thursday. We're still, at that point, 8 hours, 9 hours from Portland.
Huh? I said most of the state.
Most of the state.
Right.
We're still 3 hours from the hotel we're supposed to be at, and no way we're making that. So we call and cancel the hotel, and because we were broke down, they let us do that. And we're in the O'Reilly parking lot, and we're having all kinds of troubles, and new guy comes on at 6. His name's Rick. And he's like, what's going on, man? I'm like, we're just having all kinds of problems. Like, explain to him what happened. And I'm like, so where can we get this thing towed to get it fixed? He's like, well, there's nowhere. I mean, it's Ontario. You know, there's nothing open now. You guys aren't getting anything done until morning. And I don't even know who to recommend you to go to in the morning with that problem. He said, but, you know, I got a friend of mine who might be able to come help you. You want me to call him and see? And I'm like, I'm up for anything at this point. So he calls his buddy Gary. And Gary comes over in this beautiful ride. I mean, this guy is driving.
I've never seen
envious
a cooler car.
Of this. What was it, a 78?
It was a 79 Chevy Love.
It kind of looks like truck. Those cars they take in, like, the Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the mirrors...
It's
important to understand that the windshield was duct taped into the car.
Was that duct tape?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't tell from the picture.
No, it's duct tape.
He had riveted some metal on there.
You would have thought so, but it was just shiny duct tape, all right? Like 4 inches of it holding the top of the windshield in place. The side mirrors had fallen off the car, and he had bolted them to the hood so he could still see.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like an X and a 4 spray painted on the front.
It was for 4x4 because this.
Oh, 4x4.
This little truck had 4x4.
Gotta let people know that.
Right.
Anyway.
At least it was by 4.
So Gary gets out.
It was just a 4.
And overalls and all. And he gets out and he looks at it. He gets his little flashlight, jumps down underneath there. And he's like, oh, is this your problem? And I'm like, yep, that's my problem. Oh, I think I can take care of that. And I said, really? Do you think you can do that here tonight? And he's like, I'll go home. I only live 5 minutes away. I'll go home and I'll get my tools and I'll be right back. Take me 15 minutes at the most. Okay, go, Gary, go.
Okay.
And there we sit for 45 minutes. My wife says, Gary ain't coming back. Gary was blowing smoke. Gary looked at that and said, there ain't no way I'm fixing that out here in the dark.
You forgot the most obnoxious part of the entire thing.
What?
Like, I've worked on cars in snow and in rain and in heat.
You're right.
But this time, as soon as we parked the car, we were swarmed by biting flies.
Swarmed?
Never seen so many in my life.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Both when we stopped at Walmart to get the tool set, and then on the other side of town at the O'Reilly's, both places were swarmed by biting flies.
That's what I have termed Satan flies.
Oh, man, it was bad.
I'm telling you, man.
So 45 minutes go by. Suzette says he ain't coming. I'm kind of agreeing with her. It's getting like almost 8 o'clock. O'Reilly's closes at 10. It's dark. It's getting cold. The flies have gone away. And an hour later, here comes Gary pulling back in to the parking lot. Now, you have to understand, we don't know this guy at all, right? So we're trying to assess whether or not I should let this guy drill on my engine block, okay? So I'm like, hey, Gary, what's going on? Oh, man, he said, I had a horrible time. He said, I couldn't get in my shed to get my tools. I lost my keys. I'm like, well, where did you find them? He's like, in the bed of my pickup truck. And I'm thinking, who keeps their keys to their tool shed in the back of – just in the open back of the pickup truck? But apparently Gary does, and he forgot he put them there. And he said also, when I went in to get my tools, I was just swarmed with flies. So he had flies in his shed also. No joke.
Wow.
He did. So I'm like, well, before we get started here, Gary, because I'm a man of few means, I'm like, how much do you think you're going to charge me to fix these two screws and two bolts in this thing. And he's like, I don't know, it's $20 fair. And I'm like, no, I'll pay you more than that. Just go ahead and fix it if that's what you're after. And, man, he pulled out tools, and this guy had skills. I mean, he seriously had skills. He drilled both of those bolts out in the block, in place, through the tire frame, through this front strut.
At 11 o'clock
at night. At 11 o'clock at night. He's still – and he's, like, getting it all done, and we get to talking, and it ends up he's an ex-con. He's a felon. He's been in and out of prison, like, most of his life. And I'm like, what possesses you to come out here, you know, at 11 o'clock at night and help strangers on the side of the road with what is an absolutely difficult repair? And he's like, well, I'm just trying to balance the scales, you know. He said, I did a lot of bad stuff in my life, and I'm just trying to see if the rest of my life I can do some good stuff to make up for it. So the guy from the O'Reilly's comes out and starts to talk and find out that the reason he knows Gary is they met inside. He's got 25 years in and out of prison. So here we are going to Portland to try and sell products so we can come back to St. Louis where we can create jobs for people who have prison records that can't get work, and two guys with prison records, extensive prison records, are the ones that rescue us on the side of the road. And by 11:30, we were up and running, and we drove to the top of Cabbage Pass, where we passed out in the rest area.
It was the coldest 3 hours of no sleep that I've ever had in my life.
It was cold. And when I woke up about 4 in the morning and realized that it wasn't going to get any warmer, I just decided it's time to drive. So we just drove all the way the rest of the way into
Portland. At least when we're driving, we have the heater.
Right. My wife was over there shivering and covered. It was rough. So anyway, I just felt like, you know, it was God's poetic justice to say, you want a mechanic to come, I'm going to send you Ricky and Gary. And they're both, you know, on a different path now, coming out of prison, trying to make life right and trying to help other people. And not only that, but the guy's got skills, and you're going to see that he's going to be the guy that's going to lay on the ground underneath your truck and drill these holes that look impossible for a machinist to do. And he did it in the middle of the night with a cordless drill. It was pretty awesome. So there you go. And now we're back home, drove the car 2,500 miles since then in the last week, and it's doing just fine. So great story, huh?
Yep. That's a great story.
Yeah. I love it. And then we did well at Coffee Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And still following up on sales from that. And got a lot of stuff to sew and make and build. So success all in all. Next comes New York in March, which is a bit closer. Mm-hmm. It's only 14 hours instead of 30 hours away.
We'll make that in one day.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm getting too old for that stuff. All right, so back to our wonderful discussion topic of Halloween.
Yep. Yeah.
It is probably one of the most controversial holidays I know of. And what makes it controversial is Christians.
It's true.
You laugh all you want, but it's true.
I know it's true.
Look, I'm on Christian websites who are saying, man, you got to use Halloween as an evangelistic opportunity, and you should participate and all this other stuff. And I don't know why they take this position, because
every church does not every, but many do like trunk or treat thing.
Because it's not like this is an internationally ordained holiday. This is an American thing that really almost faded out. Actually, at one point, wasn't even here. But it was it's Irish and Scottish in origin. Came over with the Irish immigrants. I know, because I am an Irish descendant of Irish immigrants.
Because I brought it over.
Well, my great-grandparents were there. And there are, you know, it's a very pagan holiday in its origin and has been commercialized and toned down and softened somewhat, but not completely. I mean, there's a lot of just serious horror and evil involved in Halloween. And I don't understand why there are 7 other pagan holidays that rank right up there with Samhain, which is the original Halloween, and we don't celebrate any of those. We don't do any of those. There's also on the calendar 9 Hindu, 8 Muslim, 4 Buddhist, and 10 Jewish holidays that Christians do not participate in as evangelistic opportunities. So why Halloween? Why is it that Halloween is the one holiday that the church feels like it has to not only tolerate but participate in? Any ideas?
And fight for. It's not just participation, but if you challenge anybody on why they participate, it's like you get backlash and a fight.
I mean,
didn't you just have that happen?
I did.
I was going to say, one of the obvious things is that they have affections for it of some capacity, right. You know? It's like, it's a tradition.
That's the big thing. It's
brought
like,
up in it.
And like dress up and it's fun and people think scary things are fun.
Why can't we eat candy?
Yeah, I had somebody tell me that. They're like, oh, we're going to do a safe trick-or-treating zone. I said, I don't do Halloween. They're like, well, what do you mean you don't do Halloween? It's a religious preference. I don't celebrate that religious holiday. And they're like, so your kids can't have candy? And I said, well, all of my kids are adults. They can decide on candy for themselves.
I don't even know how you come up with that reason.
I said, but
so your kids can't have candy?
You know, like, candy is not.
364 days.
That they can. Only Halloween
and
they can.
And even Halloween, they can have candy.
They can't.
I get all my candy at Christmas and Easter. I'm a Holly Lily candy eater.
You are. I noticed that, except for the peanut
butter. I probably would have looked at a person like that had two heads. I'd be like, what? I don't understand the question.
Well, once I mentioned that to them, they realized how silly. I said, so do your kids, you know, you like having your kids eat candy? And they're like, well, no. I said, so on Halloween, you make an exception or you still not like them having candy? Well, I really don't want my little kids having candy. I said, well, I don't understand the question. What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, I really let the parents of my grandchildren decide whether they get candy. I don't like... I'm pretty sure most of the time. Now, sometimes I may get carried away and not follow this rule, but most of the time I'd be like, hey, Jason, can Joe and Evan have a cookie? Yes. Okay.
Sometimes you're like, hey, Jason, I'm giving your kids cookies.
Sometimes, but not very. I mean, not always. I mean, there's been times whenever I got that diabetic coma Pop-Tart response and said, okay, I won't give it to him.
Oh, wow.
He did that right. Once.
Oh, okay. They had a bunch of other stuff. But I think that whole story brings up a good point because, I mean, I was like that of, you know, I remember when I was in high school, my friend didn't do Halloween. And I was like, I was all offended. I was like, why? What's wrong with costumes and candy? And that's the logic. It's like, okay, you have a pagan holiday and then you have two other activities that really have nothing to do with anything, eating candy and wearing costumes. And it's like, that's your defense is what's wrong with these two things? It's like... those don't equal that, but I think that's part of it, is that people like those two things and then they like all the other things and like to put them together and then they get all freaked out because they're like, well, how can you be so against candy and costumes? It's like, that's not what I'm saying.
Right. So I want to go to our first song, and then when I get back, I'm going to talk about my childhood experience with the most celebrated holiday in my home, which, by the way, was Halloween. And my mom, man, she went... Hogwash.
I can imagine.
No, you have no idea.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you some stories that are going to curl your hair.
My hair's already curly.
So what song? What song are we doing? I see. I saw that coming. I should have just stopped.
Oh my goodness!
Yep.
It was funny.
It was a Mark Goodwin choice. It's "Rise" by Josh Carroll.
Hey.
Well, let's do that in a commercial and come back and talk about Halloween.
Ready, set, go.
Okay. Parties. My mom. Okay, so we'd have all kinds of holiday stuff, right? I mean, she was the kind of person that hung Easter eggs on the trees as she got older. Okay, so she liked to celebrate. But Halloween, like, for some reason, she had to have all of the kids' friends over for a big party that she would put on. Like, I never wanted a Halloween party. I don't remember ever asking, hey, Mom, do a Halloween party. But I remember Mom having Halloween parties every year. Like, she would make caskets and stuff with dummies out.
Wow, man.
No, she was overboard. She had games that she would make where she would cook things that you would then be blindfolded and you would have to reach into what was cooked and decide what it was and then eat it while blindfolded. And the one I remember the most was she had this gummy eyeball thing that she made.
That sounds great.
You're blindfolded and you reach your hand into this bowl full of what feels like eyeballs and then you have to eat one and they don't tell you what it is until after it's in your mouth. And then they tell you it's eyeballs. I mean, it was bizarre. My mom really went overboard on Halloween every year. So, I just thought I'd share that. That's where I'm coming from as a kid.
So that's why you're so embittered to it?
No. There's other reasons.
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
We would go out and we would Is there a statute of limitations on some of the things I'm going to talk about? I mean, it was 40 years ago.
I'm sure.
Okay, I'll be all right.
But murder's like 7 years, so you're fine.
Oh, no, I didn't do any murder. But no,
not
I
mean, on Halloween.
We would do all kinds of really bad stuff on Halloween. Like, we would go out, and I don't even know when we'd get home, even at 14 years old. We probably get home till 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Egging houses, and we really very rarely ever went and asked for candy of our own. We just stole it from littler kids.
I would tell you about some of my stories, but I forgot them all.
Oh, really? Well,
how bad it was. That's
See, all my Halloween stories are my whole family going out and getting candy.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so sweet, Jason.
We never celebrated Halloween.
No, we didn't.
That's why I'm so embittered towards it.
It's good. You should be, because, you know.
Just kidding. I'm rebelling. I'm going out partying tomorrow night.
If you'd celebrated it, you would have had stories like mine to share, and that's really not the history you need.
Which aren't that interesting.
I'm going to go make my own history.
Yeah, we were. I want to tell you that about three out of four Halloweens for me as a kid ended up running from the cops at some point.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much what we did.
Yeah.
Which I think really plays into one of the things we're going to talk about, which is higher crime statistics and different things on Halloween. But
let's just talk about it right now.
Why don't you?
So I was sitting there as we're talking about this, you know, earlier today. I'm like, hey, it seems like there's more crime on Halloween. I wonder if that's actually true. Looked it up. Sure is true. So true that the Boston Globe in Boston did a study from 2006 to 2009. Setting their crime statistics, and October 31st is like seriously much, much higher than the rest of the year. They had a little line graph, and it was like giant mountain peak in the middle of the whole year. It was 50% higher than the rest of the year.
I think I just remembered that one of the times I was arrested, it was on Halloween.
Yeah. And then Canada did some studies, and they found same thing. The crimes were higher. And the three biggest ones, they had them all broken down, but the three biggest crime genres were violations against property, which is what you said that you did a lot when you were younger.
Yes, and it was, we did.
Drug violations.
Did that too.
And violent offenses. And then, yeah. So it's like, it's no big surprise. It's pretty well documented. However, sexual offenses, there is no rise, which is great. It's not like I want those to happen, because those are horrendous and terrible. But people use that statistic to kind of try to hide the fact that it is actually a more crime-ridden night, because they're like, oh, well, this specific crime doesn't happen, so it's safe. And that's two different media sources I found today are basically saying, oh, Halloween's the safest night of the year. And it's like, no, you're full of garbage.
For who? So
little kids.
Well, no, the statistic I found that should just be enough for most people is children are more than twice as likely to be killed in a pedestrian accident on Halloween than any other night of the year.
Hit by a car.
Or something else.
Yeah.
Pedestrian accident could be anything. Falling on them, electrocution. They're just walking when it happens. I don't know.
Right. So you mentioned that it was a holiday called Samhain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mark, you had some history stuff that you looked up.
I did. It's spelled Samhain, but it's really Samhain. It's a Celtic thing. It's from Ireland.
Right. They got weird ways. But yeah, I think that's, you know,
take
the
it
whole
easy
fact
on the Irish.
That
that's right.
Saved the world more than once, didn't
you? You know,
we?
You mentioned that it's not a Christian holiday.
It's not. It's
which
pagan.
isn't necessarily the end of the world. Because
not if you're
New Year's Day is not a Christian holiday. People celebrate
Fourth
that.
Of July is not a Christian
Labor
holiday.
Labor Day.
Right.
So there's a bunch of non-Christian holidays. So that alone shouldn't necessarily be like, oh, we can't do that anymore. So, but you looked up other history, right, Mark? So
I did.
Let's talk
I
about
will
that.
Talk about some of the
other history.
Other history. So like you said, it started with the festival called Samhain, which was the harvest time festival where they were celebrating a good harvest and ushering in the colder, darker half of the year, which for Ireland, that's a big deal because it's already cold and dark.
Yeah, and one of the things that I read that they did during that time period, like this was one of the transitions that occurred. You have to remember the culture of the time was agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
They were bringing the livestock down from the high feeding grounds of the summer, and they were transitioning them to the low feeding grounds for the winter. So it was a time to take stock of all your animals and offer all your sacrifices and prepare what meat. And because it had turned colder, they could actually butcher a bunch of animals because they could freeze the meat naturally and preserve it for the year. Mm-hmm. So all of this was happening at the same time.
Right. So they also believed that in, I guess, I don't really know the term to use for it, but they believed that during this time, the barrier between this world and the afterlife was at its weakest point, and that spirits were crossing over from death back into life to take care of unfinished business.
Yeah. Either to bless people that were nice to him or to take vengeance on those who had been bad.
And so one of the traditions that started then was they would prepare offerings that they called soul cakes, which is weird.
Soul food, but
it's actually the original my stage food. Name.
It's his nickname in high school, soul cakes.
So they would prepare these offerings for these spirits so that they would not come and do harm to them or mischief or damage or vandalism, the property damage that you were talking about. That's something that they were all worried about. So they would prepare these offerings for the spirits in hopes that they would have good fortune.
That's kind of like trick-or-treating.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
In a minute. Right. Don't jump the shark.
Oh, man, I'm jumping it.
Okay, so let me see here. What else do I?
How it became a Christian holiday.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the Christians had a holiday similar to that where they would celebrate and honor the dead, the fallen saints and martyrs and loved ones who were close to them. Then they would celebrate them, and they called it All Saints Day. And originally, that holiday took place in May, sometime in early or late spring, I guess, what we would consider May on our calendar. And it wasn't until the 8th century that Pope Gregory III moved that holiday in, lined it up with this fall time festival.
Samhain.
And said, hey, if they're already celebrating and observing that this crossover between this life and the next life, we may as well line that up with ours and go along with all of their traditions.
And Samhain was basically the pagan new year.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year.
Because it was the ushering in of the dark time.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, some of the... I looked up some of the different practices or traditions that took place in observance of these holidays in the pagan cultures, and then how some of those things have evolved and taken root and are still celebrated today.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention, so, you know, we're saying that it's not a Christian holiday, period. No. Pagan holiday. None of the things that you're about to list off have anything to do with Christianity or the Bible.
No, the only things actually that I found that were the practices or rituals that were observed by the Christians on their holiday was they would go and light candles on the graves of their loved ones, or they would fast and pray.
But they're not doing that on Halloween.
Right,
now.
No.
I don't know anybody that's sending their kids out to the cemetery to light candles on their loved graves while they fast.
Nana!
It's time for our next song. What is the next song?
Oh, it's Keith Green.
Hey.
You know... It's a very appropriate time to, before we start talking about the traditions and rituals of Halloween. The thing I found when I started to research all this is there's a common thread amongst secular commentators on Halloween where they want to say that the opposition to Halloween is old, antiquated, and outdated now because that was back when people believed in the devil.
Right.
Believed in Satan being a real entity and being and what have you. And now that nobody believes in that anymore, the people that hold on to that are archaic. And those are the only ones that are opposed to Halloween at this point. And I find that to be fascinating because here's Keith Green writing this song, which I'm not going to tell you what it is. I think we should just go to the song. Everybody will figure it out whenever they get there. And then we'll do a break and then we'll be back.
Before the break, we were talking about Halloween.
Halloween?
Where are we? I thought we were talking about trick-or-treating.
We were.
We were about to
talk about some of the practices and traditions and activities that accompanied this pagan holiday and have been adopted by everybody unknowingly.
I have a question.
Evil. What?
My question is it valid to claim that Halloween is just a commercial celebration that has no link to its origin? Before we get into the traditions, because that's really what's going on out there in America today, is the church is acting like oh, it's no big deal. It's just kids dressing up in costumes and getting candy. And the commercial industry is like, oh, yeah, let's do more of candy. That candy in that costume scary thing, because they're up to like $7 billion a year being spent on Halloween. Which is a big industry. It's huge.
Right.
It is actually the second largest spending holiday after Christmas.
Right.
And you know that if money's involved, people are going to want to promote it and tell you that it's okay because they're making money off it. The question is that valid? Can you just, according to God's economy and the spirit realm and things that are real for Christians, can you just say it don't matter anymore and it really don't matter?
Can you I don't think so, because you look at – right. I mean, yeah, most of the people, and not all, most of the people celebrating Halloween have little knowledge or no knowledge of Samhain and all these other things and the origins and all this stuff. But it doesn't take a genius to stink and look around and say, what is this holiday celebrating? And that's the thing that's the most disturbing to me at this point in my life. Because, I mean, like I said, growing up, I was like, oh, costumes and candy, this is the best thing ever. I used to love it. But it's like now it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, you look, what's the number one thing when I, you know, comes to my mind when I think of Halloween is fear through demons or witchcraft or violence
or haunted hayrides or
Just disturbing images, you know?
Yeah. Right. And that's all you see is all these disturbing things. And like that's the things that this holiday celebrates is nothing but fear, wickedness, lust, you know, demons, witchcraft, evil, violence, pain. You know, you look at the costumes. It's like, yeah, you got superheroes and fairies, but you also got, you know, axe murderers and demons and, you know, werewolves. Right. And
well, I wanted to bring that up because as he goes through all of these, and it looks to me like he's got five different topics that he's going to talk about, you know, in the next hour or so. I just want everybody to think, can you take the true meaning in the spirit realm out of it just by acting like it isn't there? You know, and it all came from somewhere. Its origin is from somewhere, and it has to mean something.
I think that's – like that was my biggest motivation for wanting to do this topic tonight and talk about this was that there's so many Christians that I know that think that it's just harmless for them to involve themselves in these things and have no realization of what their actions in the physical realm mean and portray and tie them to in spirit realm.
So like, let's talk about it. Let's see what it, I mean, if these can actually be innocent or not. Let's go with the first one.
And like just listening to Jason talk about what this holiday embodies, like when I go through these things, you're going to realize that all of these different activities have very deep, dark roots.
And they do.
They seem innocent now when you look at them, just a bunch of kids doing these things, but I don't think you can separate the two. So,
here we go. You just have to remember this, too. The same demons that were there when these started are here now.
And,
they haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
Nobody believes in me anymore. Right. So, you know, they're still wandering around saying, ah, look, got them going, got them doing it.
Right.
Right. And their sole purpose is to gain ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're doing it easily. So, okay. So, like you said, I got five different activities. Now, this is not by any means a conclusive list of the activities that happen or whatever traditions, practices of this pagan holiday, but these are the ones that stuck out to me that I found to be interesting as far as their roots and what they have led to. So the first one is trick-or-treating. So we talked about it was believed that the souls of those who had passed would come back to this world to take care of unfinished business, and they would come to either claim revenge or harm or to bring good fortune to people who were kind to them or to bring bad fortune and harm to those who were not kind to them. So we talked about the soul cakes or these offerings that they would give up to these evil spirits in order to assure that they would have good fortune. And so what came about as a result of that is that the kids or whoever would dress up trying to depict these evil spirits, would try and mimic them, and would go to people's houses. And the phrase trick-or-treat basically came about as they would go to these houses and say, either you give me that offering or that soul cake, or I'm going to do mischief and damage to your property. So they would come mimicking these spirits and take their offering instead of the spirit getting it. And that's how that whole trick-or-treating came about.
Yeah, and actually in the Middle Ages it was called souling. And the practice was mostly in the British Islands, they were children or poor adults, and they'd go to local homes, and they would collect food or money in return for prayers for the dead mm-hmm. on All Souls Day for the Christians. They had a secular version of souling, which was called guising, and it eventually, you know, developed out of that. First recorded in Scotland in the 19th century, guisers went door to door, and they earned food, treats, and money by offering small performances, like tell a joke or sing a song. And there was, you know, stories that, you know, I mean, it's not all really well documented. Don't get me wrong. It's not like people were like, oh, the history of guising, you know, but they were talking about fantastic costumes that were borrowed both from Samhain and British mummery. So they were using those rituals from the dead in order to dress up, in order to go door to door, in order to either trick the pagan believers into giving them their soul cakes, or the Christians by giving them a performance to get food or money out of them. They were basically playing the gamut, okay, on their trick-or-treating and appealing.
Because they didn't care as long as they got money and food.
Correct. And they also were known for carrying small turnip lanterns. Mm-hmm. They would basically carve a hole in a turnip, put a small candle or oil lamp in there, and that would be their like flashlight for the night, which eventually turned into the next thing you're going to talk about,
which is jack-o'-lanterns, because they would carry these lights around so that they could see where they're going, but they also would carve them in menacing or evil-looking images, like faces, mm-hmm. so that they could ward off the actual evil spirits that they
scare
were,
them out.
That they were trying to imitate. And they would frighten them off so that they wouldn't come and do harm to them while they're out trying to steal their soul cakes.
So now, before we go, I think we're going to run out of time pretty quick, but I want to talk about how scary jack-o'-lanterns really are. You're going to like this. I just found this on the internet tonight. According to the Energy Department, so this is an official government statement on jack-o'-lanterns, that the holiday squash is responsible for unleashing greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. More than 1.3 billion pounds of pumpkins produced in the U.S. end up in the trash, says the Energy Department's website, becoming part of more than 254 million tons of municipal solid waste produced in the United States every year. Municipal solid waste decomposes into methane, a harmful greenhouse gas that plays a part in climate change, with more than 20 times the warming effect of carbon dioxide. So basically, your pumpkins are killing the planet. Halloweeners, so
because they're not
else,
being eaten,
right? If nothing else, quit carving the jack-o'-lanterns and
save the planet.
And save the planet, right? Unless you're just looking for a warmer Halloween next year, which you might be, because it's going to be a little chilly out there tomorrow night, rainy, and we only have 30 seconds, so we're going to catch these other three on the other side of the break and have some more fun facts on Halloween. Some really incredible things happened throughout history. You'll be impressed to hear. But until then, you're just going to have to wait.
The Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Carrolls and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church, or on our website at disciplegrivenchurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@disciplegrivenchurch.org.